95.5 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Labor Department reports 151,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy last month, with unemployment up slightly from 4 to 4.1%. Economist Gus Fauché.
As of early 2025, the labor market is quite solid, and the unemployment rate remains historically low.
Today's numbers do not take into account federal government firings. China is calling U.S. tariffs arbitrary and two-faced. The nation's foreign minister threw an interpreter.
No country should fantasize that it can suppress China and maintain good relations at the same time.
Another SpaceX rocket has broken apart after launch. Brett Bostwick was on his boat in the Bahamas when he saw debris streaking through the sky.
It maybe got about 20 degrees above the horizon and, you know, turned into a huge ball of fire.
Some airline flights in South Florida were grounded as a precaution. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. It's the shortest weekend of the year. Clocks spring forward Saturday in the middle of the night, taking an hour of our sleep away. Daylight saving time happens for a few reasons. It's meant to save energy consumption, and it also aligns with the sunlight better, meaning less time turning the lights on at home. Outdoor enthusiasts love it, because it'll stay darker longer in the morning and lighter later in the evening. If we stuck to standard time all year, sunrise in July would be at 4 a.m., and sunsets would be earlier at 7:30. So we shifted up an hour to have it make more sense with our daily lives that go by the clock. And a Wisconsin company has developed a soybean-based firefighting foam. Cross Plains Solutions is the company behind the soy-based firefighting foam. Dave Garley, Chief Technology Officer at Cross Plains, says its product is certified for Class A and B fires.
That's correct. Yep. NFPA, National Fire Prevention Association, is a governing body that sets standards for Class A and Class B foams.
Jason Wiley, the fire chief for the Rock Falls, Wisconsin Fire Department, says the soy firefighting foam is as easy to use as traditional foam.
On our truck, we got 1,000 gallons of water and we got a 20-gallon foam tank. And quite literally, when we need to use the foam, we just push a button on it. It comes out at a certain percentage that we sell in the truck, and away we go.
And Garley says farmers can also use the soy foam to fight combine fires. Because the firefighting foam is soy-based, it contains no PFAS chemicals. And do you want to fly? The Wausau School District and Wausau Flying Service have teamed up and are looking for more pilots. They started a new program called Aviation 101. It's a part of the WAVE program, which is a virtual charter school in the Wausau School District. So they're offering virtual classes so that Wisconsinites can participate from all over the state. And the idea behind this is to reduce training time that's required in person, so the cost to get a private pilot license is essentially less. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
A busy weekend in college basketball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Big game tomorrow for Marquette. The Golden Eagles host number 6-ranked St. John's at Fiserv Forum. It's senior day for Marquette. Tip-off time at Fiserv Forum, 11 a.m. In Madison, the Badgers will host Penn State at noon tomorrow at the Kohl Center. The Milwaukee Panthers season came to an end last night at the Clatchy Center after losing to Oakland, 72-64. Milwaukee just 3-for-12 at the foul line. In women's hockey, the number one ranked Badgers women's team are in Minnesota today to take on the Bulldogs in Duluth. It's the first round of the WCHA Final Faceoff Tournament. NFL Mason Crosby officially retiring today after 16 years as the team's kicker.
I was drafted by the Packers. I got to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, in Titletown. Like, one of the coolest things that has ever happened in my life is to be able to wear that Super Bowl ring, and nobody can ever take that away from us.
That's the Packers' Mason Crosby with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-30s this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 15. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a few flurries in the afternoon. We'll get to around 40 by Sunday. 47 Monday sunshine with a high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Morning. It is Friday, March the 7th of 2025. Currently up 7 degrees in the past hour. Now 27 degrees under fair skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes, not in our studios today. I am broadcasting live from Middleton. I am down in the Madison area covering the WIAA High School Hockey Tournament. Had the Central Wisconsin Storm in action last night. A 4-3 win in overtime over the Eau Claire Area Stars. So the Storm advanced to the state championship game tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. against the Bay Area Ice Bears, a rematch of last year's state championship game. And tomorrow we will have the game for you right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 2:35 and the opening face-off at 3 p.m. So that's tomorrow with the high school hockey. But we have more high school hockey today from the state. I'll be heading back over to a Bob Suter's Legacy 20 Arena as the Wausau West hockey team in a Division I semifinal this afternoon take on two-time defending state champion Notre Dame Academy. 2 o'clock face-off, 1:35 for the pregame right here on 98.9 WXCO and online. But glad to be with you here this morning on the road. Coming up in just a little bit at 9:21, we'll be joined by Paul Micklegg for our weekly visit, talking Wisconsin sports. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. And then, of course, at the end of the program, we will be doing our daily history lesson, talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history, talk about some celebrity birthdays, talk a bit about special events being acknowledged today. And of course, we always wrap it up with our number for the day quiz. And the person that takes the number for the day quiz each and every weekday at about 9:55 is our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
You got a little pressure today.
Yep, I am a 1 out of 4, right?
Yep, you're one out of four. So that
make sure I get that right. Yeah.
Today it's going to be either a celebration of, yep, of getting a passing grade for the week, because we always say as a start that because we give you three choices, two of which are wrong, one of which is right, that based on the math, you should get 33% right, one out of three. So we say if you get above 33%, you get a passing grade. If you get below 33%, you get a failing grade. Right now you're 25%. If you get it right, 40%. That is a passing grade. You get it wrong, 20%. Yeah. That's not good. So, a lot on the line. You've been hot and cold recently. You've either been really, really good during a week or you've had struggles.
It's definitely been a roller coaster for sure.
But would you like to know what our topic is?
Yeah, yes, I would.
Our topic is daylight savings time.
Oh.
So daylight savings time is our topic here today.
Something we've talked about quite often on the on our show of whether or not we should have it or not.
I know, and I'm not somebody who thinks we should have it. I am in the minority. Most folks, I think, like having it, and I think more folks would like to see it become permanent. But I have seen some studies, and I've seen some, actual medical studies that say that it actually hurts us, our bodies, our body clocks, because our body clocks are kind of tuned in to standard time. But I do understand the idea of wanting it to have an extra hour, especially as we get into the spring and the summer. And of course, this weekend, daylight savings time does begin. So basically at 2 a.m. early Sunday morning, you have to put your clocks ahead 1 hour. So that means during the spring, we lose an hour of sleep. In the fall, we gain an hour of sleep. Because when you go to bed on Saturday night, when you wake up, it's an hour later than you would expect. If you don't change your clocks until you actually wake up on Sunday morning, then it'll be an hour later.
Yeah, we actually have someone who wants to share some good news on this Friday morning. You can go ahead.
Well, we like that.
Chad, this is Cornell from Merrill.
Hi, Cornell. How you doing?
Good. Well, I want to tell you something's very exciting happened. I'm going to stay with some good news for everybody. Shadow, I don't know if you heard of them, Shadow and Jackie. Well, they're eagles in an eagle cam, and their eggs hatched out this week.
Oh.
And if anybody wants to check it out, it's really incredible. It's like you're sitting in the nest in this live cam in Big Bear, California. Two chicks hatched out a couple days ago, and the third one's going to hatch out today. So it's very interesting. It shows that the two eagles are feeding the chicks, and they're showing a lot of love and kindness. And I hope people, if you want to get away from the stress of politics, you can check that out. It's really great to see because they only lay eggs about once a year. It's two eagles. It's Shadow and Jackie from Big Bear, California. You can see it on live cam. I might just want to put that out to somebody because the two eagles show a lot of love and kindness, which we need a lot in the world, to feeding these chicks. But the ones are going to hatch out, so they got three. And it's pretty exciting. It's interesting. So I just want to put that out. I'm going to stay away from politics. And good luck to all the hockey people down there. And so I just want to give you that information. It's kind of interesting to see these two eagles feeding the chicks. I mean, they were just born 4 days ago, and this other one's going to hatch out. I guess they had a hard time with the third one. It's just hatching out today. But it's very interesting. It's a beautiful place, and it's a Big Bear, California, Jack and Shadow.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Cornell.
Yeah, okay. Well, you all have a nice weekend, and thank you for putting me on the air, and good luck with all the hockey and sports.
Thank you, Cornell. Give us a call anytime.
Have a nice weekend.
That is great. I mean, and I actually today have been trying to stay away from the Trump talk and all that stuff, because I think we all once in a while need to take a deep breath, and that's the miracle of life there, and eagles, and again, of course, the eagle is national symbol here for our country, and to see, and that's all, and again, when you're walking down the street and you see somebody, a young child, I mean, when they're so close to the ground, you can't help but put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And when you see a kid who is discovering things for the first time, and it's the same thing with an eagle, an animal life, where the start of a new life, and they're discovering everything. We all go through this one time. And life, frankly, is too short to spend all your time, you know, having your stomach turn into knots. And sometimes it's good to step away for your mental health. And we've heard that from others as well, to have those mental health breaks. It doesn't mean to ignore what's happening. It doesn't mean not to do what you can to make our country a better place. But at the same time, it is always good, and you can definitely take advantage of a few moments to step away from it, enjoy something's different, enjoy a comedy, enjoy laughing, enjoy sports, enjoy whatever it may be, and enjoy stories like this. So again, thanks to Cornell for passing that along. And
just enjoy the moments of nature in general. Like last night, I got finished with a center stage rehearsal. I was walking outside, and I look up, and I see a beautiful moon and the stars in the sky, and it fills you with wonder. And just not to mention yesterday, the beautiful sunset I saw as well as I was leaving work at Hen to Sarah Sage rehearsal. And then this morning, how Mike Clemens was talking about earlier in the show, he saw some birds outside of his house because he got to take some time off and just stay at home this morning. Well, I look out at one of the bird feeders that we have in our front yard, and I saw a blue jay just up in the tree and getting in the bird feeder, and I'm just like, man, I just love these little moments of nature, just seeing just the little things in life that really make you smile. And just things
you're
like
exactly
that just
right.
Makes you feel good.
Right. I mean, I think everybody in their lives needs a certain sense of balance. If you get caught up in one thing all the time, then it's going to cause some issues. Again, it doesn't mean ignore what's happening. It does not mean stop fighting for what you believe in. But at the same time, man, you just need those moments to see the miracle of life, to have the joy of life. And again, especially in this era, in this time. And thanks to Cornell. And again, folks out there, if you want to share anything, especially something that on this Friday morning can put a smile on our face, you can join us by calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. That is our call and our text line. And of course, we've mentioned this before, get that Civic Media app. It really is a terrific piece of technology. All you have to do is go to your app store, search Civic Media, and then download it. Free app, always be free. And then once you download it, you'll have every one of the Civic Media radio stations on your app. And there's more than 20 of these stations. And actually, when I was driving in, I got into Madison. I was tuned into our Madison station. Todd Albo was talking about the new station in Minnesota, Ellie. I think it's Ellie, E-L-Y. And it's a brand new station. It's a traditional station up in northern Minnesota, right, basically right up against the Canadian border. And the old host of CBS Sunday Morning, Charles Kuralt, after he retired from CBS News, bought that station and ran that station until he passed away. So it's a lot of tradition, and Civic Media continues to grow. And really great to bring some of these smaller communities, their radio station back. That station had been taken off the air, and to have it come back and be a local service is something that Civic Media has been so good at in the last few years. Coming up, we will talk to Coach Paul Miklag, our Friday visit straight ahead. The time is 9:19 here on 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that bill?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that bill?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that bill?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
And welcome back to Cat Home Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa, by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. As we continue on this Friday morning, yep, Friday morning, great to be with you. Another nice start heading towards the weekend. Again, I'm broadcasting today from Middleton, just outside Madison, covering the WIAA State Hockey Tournament. Had a game last night, have another game coming up this afternoon, but glad to be with you here this morning. And as we do every Friday morning, joined by Paul Micklick. I can see him on the camera. He probably can't see me at this point.
No, I can't see you. No, this is. It looks like I'm talking to nobody over here. I'm just.
I know.
Where's Chad? Is Chad in his hotel room? Is that where you're doing this from?
I am doing it from the hotel room.
Oh, look at that! You could be in your pajamas. You could be in your pajamas yet.
No, I did dress. I am still professional here.
I know you are, Chad. I was just...
I know, hypothetically,
you could be in there. You could be in jammies and in bed just doing this. But Ian's doing a great job. It looks like he's holding the fort down here, so things are running smooth here.
Doing what I can, yep.
But lots to talk about. I mean, it was actually interesting. Early in the show, I was mentioning to Ian, it's almost like it kind of snuck up on us. It's March and March Madness coming up. And it feels like, you know, kind of been under the radar, I think, a lot with the NFL season going longer and longer these years. But heading down the stretch. And when you look at the Badgers and Marquette right now, it feels as though Marquette's struggling, and you've talked about this last couple of weeks. They've been having some difficulty against some of the top teams in the Big East. Well, the Badgers, for the most part, have been pretty consistent. They've been right there in the top 15 in the country, have, you know, not won all their games. Obviously, the Arizona game was a tough loss, and then last week, a tough loss to Michigan State. But it just feels like right now there's a few more question marks about Marquette than there are about the Badgers.
Yeah, I mean, before you even get started with those two, UW-Milwaukee, who had they were predicted first coming into the year in their conference, and they ended up being third, and then they were hoping they make a run in the Horizon League, and they lost. So now you got two teams out already. You got UW-Milwaukee and UW-Green Bay, obviously, who did not have a good year overall, and they were out in the first round. So we're down two teams, you know, and we don't even know that it started yet. I couldn't believe that they were playing already, and they're done. So now they're out, and now you're looking at trying to get set up here for next week with the Big Ten and the Big East tournament. And Wisconsin needs to have a little help tonight. With Illinois, has got to help, you know, get them a W over Purdue to get back in that number four spot, so they can get that double bye. Wisconsin is missing Klezmet. I really do think they're missing him right now, and they got to get their mojo back. I think they lost it a little bit in that last 10 minutes of Oregon game, and they need to get it back, and they need to get back in a hurry. Marquette, I thought they played a pretty good game the other day against Connecticut. I thought Connecticut played well, and when they play well at home and in that environment, they're a pretty good team. And was, you know, Marquette, I thought, played one of their better games of the year. That's what I personally take off it going into this weekend and a big game tomorrow, two big games tomorrow at 11 and 12.
Yeah, the Marquette game against St. John's senior day, sixth ranked team in the country, Big East Conference first place team in the regular season. To me, they got to get this game. I mean, if they lose this game, they're going to be, I think they'll be like a 7. And they're going to be in a tough spot, maybe even an 8. I mean, they're going down rather quickly.
The one thing about them is that they're looking at how things shake out. Because when you get wins in December and November, you really don't know how they're going to look at the end of the year. And Marquette has, think about this, Marquette beat 3 of the top 5 teams in the Big Ten. I mean, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Maryland. And Maryland was on the road. So you're talking about they got 3 wins there that are legit wins that they have on their, you know, in their back pocket. And they, if they can get, add that St. John's in there, they're going to get a fine seed, I think. That's just my personal take on it. They'll be in that 5 range. They should be in that 5 range if that is what happens. But you said it last week. Some reason it always seems like they get lower than they should. So if I'm saying that if they beat St. John's, they get a 5 seed, you're probably looking at a 6 seed, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pattern. But I do think that you hit it on the head. Those kind of wins do help. And I don't think they've had that many quality, top-tier non-conference wins previously where it may have hurt them a little bit because often they've had trouble with like, teams with, like Wisconsin. So I think this season they do have a little bit better resume, but we'll see. Obviously, it just feels like they've been just, just scuffling a bit. And you're right, that was a better performance against UConn the other night. But at the same time, it just feels like, man, it just petered out a little bit as the months have gone by. It started off where they were up and almost in the top 5 in the country, I think, at one point. And it has been kind of drip, drip, drip over the last couple of months.
They can't rebound very well, especially against teams that can rebound. That they just beat them on the boards nonstop the other night, and you're not going to beat those teams, especially a good team at their place, when you're giving them reload, 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 reload all the time. And you're talking about they're having like 2-1 in possessions because they keep on getting reloads. Well, guess what? If you shoot 40% out of 60 shots, 40% out of 40 shots, guess what? Who's going to win the game? It's going to be the team that shoots 60 times, and unfortunately, that's what happened. I thought Cam Jones has showed what he's made of when he can. He's honestly the best player that I've ever seen with the ball in his hand, going to the hoop and finishing. I don't know how he does it sometimes. It's fun to watch, and then unfortunately, we only going to have a couple of weeks left here to watch him do it. But he is around the ball and getting in there. He reminds me of, Diener was really good with the ball. Last year's guy was really good with the ball, Kolek, that they can take it to the hole and finish, and tough shots and getting through big. Like, there's no way he's going to get through there. That's the one thing they have. They have his ability. Now, his shooting's been struggling mightily here recently, and that's been a problem.
Absolutely. We have to take a quick time out. We have an information update, news, weather, sports, entertainment all coming up. We do it at the top and the bottom of every hour here on 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media. And then more with Paul McLagan. Going to say Paul was right again. He was right again. He loves hearing it, so I'm going to say he was right again. And with the Milwaukee Bucks, who continue to play well, so we'll talk about them. We'll talk about maybe a touch a little bit of baseball and football yet as well as we continue here on this Friday morning. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The largest reduction in federal jobs could happen in the next month. Jimmy Kuska explains.
The Trump administration is planning on cutting tens of thousands of Veterans Administration jobs, according to multiple news reports. Currently, the VA employs about 470,000 people. The goal for the Trump administration is to get the VA back to pre-pandemic staffing of just under 400,000 workers, so about 70,000 employees would be let go. In addition, the Trump administration is planning to downsize the military's civilian workforce by about 5-8% of its nearly 950,000 employees.
And there's an effort in Stevens Point to possibly reduce the responsibility and authority of the elected mayor. Here's Melissa Kay with more.
Alderperson Jackie Guthrie, who represents the 2nd District, has put forward a request to discuss and possibly create a city administrator position. Currently, Mayor Wiese serves as full-time chief executive officer of the city, presides over city council meetings, and only votes in the event of a tie. He also has veto powers over any ordinance approved by the Common Council. However, a veto can be overturned by a two-thirds vote of the council. The job of a city administrator is to oversee the daily operations of a city and act as chief advisor to the city council. The difference between a city administrator and a mayor is that the mayor is elected by the citizens, while a city administrator is an appointed position. Mayor Wiese is currently serving his 3rd elected term. There's no limit on how many terms a mayor can serve. The Personnel Committee meeting is on March 10th at 6:40 p.m.
And spring weather is right around the corner, so that means it's time for the 15th annual Central Wisconsin RV and Camping Show. It starts today, featuring various RVs, camping gear, and outdoor activities. It's all happening at the Central Wisconsin Convention and Expo Center. That's on Market Street in Rothschild. Doors are open at 3 to 8 tonight, tomorrow from 9 to 6, and Sunday 10 to 4. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders fans who are looking for closure from the upcoming Peaky Blinders movie will not get it. Franchise creator Stephen Knight says Peaky Blinders will continue after the movie has been released, but was not specific as to whether it would be TV or film. In the upcoming movie, the Peaky Blinders gang does battle with Nazis. Netflix has not yet given a release date for the Peaky Blinders movie. Typically, when someone writes a movie, they are looking for creative and ideally financial gain. Rarely does citizenship come into play as a reward, but it did for Jesse Eisenberg, the writer of the movie A Real Pain. The Polish government granted Jesse citizenship for writing the film set in Poland, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Nice to have a place to weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-30s this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 15. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a few flurries in the afternoon. We'll get to around 40 by Sunday. 47 Monday sunshine with a high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, can the House GOP use their mandate to pass a clean funding bill? And remember when Senator Rick Scott took the fifth 75 times when his company was fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud? He has new thoughts! Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back, Animal Show 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, also on YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO page on the app. Again, broadcasting live this morning from Middleton as we get set for more high school state tournament hockey later on this afternoon. Wausau West and Notre Dame Academy pregame show at 1:35 and the opening faceoff at 2. Then Tom Weaver tonight will have Marathon Boys playoff basketball. Marathon Red Raiders taking on the Phillips Loggers, a Division IV regional semifinal. Tom will be at Marathon High School for that one. 6:50 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening tip-off. And I will do my darndest to try to get back up to the Wausau West Fieldhouse for tonight's Division I boys basketball regional semifinal. The Wausau West Warriors and the D.C. Evergreens. Again, if there's no overtime, I think I'll be able to get back in time. And that game will be heard live on the Sports 2 stream. Again, go to the Sports 2 stream at WXCO.fm and also on the Civic Media app starting at 6:50. And the West Everest game will also air on a delay basis after the marathon game tonight on 98.9 WXCO. Talking some Wisconsin sports here with Paul Micklig on this Friday morning. And as much as it pains me to say, it hurts whenever I can say that you're right, because usually you announce that you're right before anybody can say that you're right.
Oh, you're talking a lot of, you're just saying this, A, because you're in Middleton, that's number one. So that's the only reason you're saying this. You would never say this in person anyways. That's
right,
I know for sure.
Table, right? Yeah,
yeah, that's never,
you're
never.
You're sitting across from me right now. But you said after the Bucks made their changes, it wasn't just one trade. You know, I think it was actually multiple moves, that they were a better basketball team. And right now it appears that they're playing the most consistently good basketball that they have all season long.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is their schedule. I mean, Dallas literally had a JV team out there the other night. They did go get the win in Atlanta. They did get that win against Denver, which is a real good win. So they are doing that stuff. You look at that trade for Porter Jr., and I know that he's your buddy, Porter Jr., but they just cut Beauchamp. Literally, we got Porter for free.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how else to look at it. They just gave him to us. And to secure that backup point guard position with that second crew is huge. Now, he's averaging probably around that 10 points, 10 to 11 points since he's gotten to Milwaukee. And I'll tell you, he it's a big-time difference when you have that second guy in there. There's not a drop-off when Lillard is on the bench. And actually, defensively, we probably pick it up a little bit better going in the second with the second group. And he's done a fabulous job. He did shoot. He got a little crazy against Dallas, and he shot 5 three-pointers. He's got a stick to taking the ball to the hole, and that mid-range jumper, that fadeaway he has, is really good. He's got a stick to that. And he helps. I think Kuz just wants to win. He just wants to win. And you can see that, right? I mean, you can just tell how somebody got technical. Actually, Porter was the other night. And he just grabs him, and he's kind of taken over that leadership role. And he's only been there for a little bit. And he really wants to truly taste that victory. That's what he wanted. And I think he does. And it gives him a little flow. He's got length defensively. I know they say he's not the best defender, but I think they've gotten better, though, defensively with him in there because of his length. And he's a good matchup with them. And it's a tougher to shoot over that length. So I think they've gotten better offensively and defensively.
He looks like a man that was very, very thirsty and found some water.
Yes.
Because he had lost so much the last couple of years. And it sounded like that really started to get to him a little bit. That's why he kind of pushed his way out in Washington. And now that he's winning a little bit, it's like, holy cow, he probably feels like, I forgot how much fun it is to actually win. And it kind of shows up when you see him on the court.
Correct. And you can just tell that he was missing that, and how he's playing when he takes the ball to the hole. Now, he hit a three or one or two the other night, and he does have that, but he's like a 28% three-point shooter. If he can keep attacking and hit those threes when they're wide open, he's going to be fine with that. And so offensively, he takes the ball to the rack, which, again, I think in the playoffs you need to do. You have to have guys that can create their own shot and take it going to the hole, because it's going to be a different game there. Every possession is going to be scrutinized, and you know how that goes. Like, so it's every possession. Can we get our shots? Can somebody get their shot besides? And he doesn't need to average 20 points a game. He needs to get into that 12 to 14 range, getting easy buckets to the hole, and then making sure that he kicks it and keeps that. Giannis, I think, is playing better with him because of how they are pushing the ball. He can push the ball also, so it's not just the point guard. It could also be the wing, which makes a difference.
And I think that what they did with Giannis around the All-Star break, he's come out of that break where he was able to get healthy, get rested, and he's come out and been really, really good. He's always, I mean, that guy brings his lunch pail every time. And of course, he just hit the 20,000 point mark, which is just amazing. 52nd player in NBA history to do it. But when your best player comes every night when he's on the court and does what he does, that is the foundation. Obviously, that is where it comes. And that guy is just such a worker. That guy, he's got it all, and yet he has that also that will to work that is just so darn impressive.
Did you see his or hear his press conference after that game, after he scored those points, and he was proud of scoring all those points with one jersey? And did you?
I missed that.
You did. Of course you missed it. Of course
I missed it.
Somehow I guarantee the talking heads will say that that was a sign that he's not going to be with Milwaukee next year. He was saying he was so happy to be he was excited that he scored every point with Milwaukee. I guarantee you that all the talking heads are out there going, somehow they'll spin that saying that he's going to be gone next year. Right, Chad?
Stop it.
Somebody's probably going to spin it like that, though. Somebody probably will spin it like that, right?
Maybe. I'm not going to worry about that.
You're not going to spin it. You're not going to spin it that way.
I'm not spinning it that way. I said what I thought, and you just keep twisting it. I kept saying if this team goes down the drain, basically, he's not going to hang around for a rebuild. So as long as they're good, there's no problems.
Now the question I would have to ask you is, what's good? Are they good? Is good winning, getting to the playoffs, and winning a first round game, or is good winning the championship?
No, I'm thinking that he, and again, it's not about what they do in the end. It's about going into next year. Does he feel like they got a team that has the capability of competing for a championship? It doesn't guarantee anything. That's the way I look. I don't say you look back, we lost in the second round, so I'm going out. No, what does the future look like? That's the way I would think he would look at it.
I mean, is the future kind of low with – is kind of dependent on him? You know, I mean, he is the ringleader, so you should be able to put some guys around him that I don't think they're ever going to – I don't think they're going to do with what they did in Dallas with Luka and get rid of him. I just don't see it happening. I just don't – that would be the – for marketing purposes and publicity, I think that getting rid of Giannis would be, honestly, you might as well just get rid of the Bucks. I mean, because at this point in time, I think that's just my personal
take. The Bucks are never getting rid of Giannis. It's whether Giannis puts himself in a position where he wanted to move. And again, I don't know why we're talking about this, because again, the only reason I said is if the way they started 1-7 or whatever it was, if they had a terrible team, he was not going to be hanging around for a rebuild. That's the whole point. And yet you keep twisting it like I was predicting that was going to happen.
No, because somebody did say it. And I'm not – this conversation actually wasn't just at you. This conversation was actually at somebody saying that, you know, they should trade Lillard and Giannis in the offseason and start fresh.
Who said that?
That one of those guys on the NBA followers.
You got to stop watching those people.
Well, the thing is, though,
read a book.
Well, you said, I like to read. I read the newspaper every day. That's at least the sports section. And
there you go.
So my point being was that that is a concern. I mean, so I know you brought it up, but there is a concern that they might try to, if they don't, if the second round is not good enough for them. I don't know. These two games this weekend against Orlando and Cleveland and back-to-back, I think are critical games to see exactly where they're at. And Detroit's, right now they're at the fourth spot by like a half a game, or maybe they're tied. I don't even know if Indiana played last night. And Detroit's one game behind them for that sixth spot. Is it one of those things where do we want to go to that sixth spot and play New York in the first round and then play Boston? Or they're actually only four games behind the Knicks, but I don't think with that schedule that they're going to be able to move up to that third spot. Who knows? Maybe they can on their here because they got a tough stretch coming here, but they have to make sure to see where they're at against Cleveland on Friday night or Sunday night. I think it's going to be a huge game to see where they're at.
I want to ask you, the Packers signed Brandon McManus to a 3-year contract. Was that a good idea?
I think it was. I mean, you got to have that position secured. And I think they wanted to go in and just have that position secured, that it wasn't going to be the talking piece of camp like last year and the year before. You know what I mean? Like, I think they were done with doing that. And this secured it and said, hey, this is where we're going to go. And now we can start getting to the other points of the team, have that spot secured. So now what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about the receivers for the next six months. And we're going to be talking about the edge rusher for the next 6 months. And we're going to be talking about the D-backs. And they probably would be third in that line. Even though the line, probably offensive line, will come up depending on if they sign Josh Myers or how they do it. I do think they got some wiggle room there with Morgan from last year. I mean, to get him in the game. So it is a good move. Is what? Long story short, I think it's a good move.
What about DK Metcalf? That's out of Seattle. Should the Packers should they make a move for him? Because I mean, they'll kick the tires on everybody and let the GM do his job. But do you think he would be a good fit at the right price?
I mean, for the right price, I just think that we're starting to get winding down here now because some of these guys are kind of coming off the table, so to speak, for the Packers to trade for or sign or whatever the case might be. I know that the signing hasn't started until next week, but Crosby just signed over in Oakland to the biggest contract of a non, I think, quarterback position. So obviously he must be off the table now. So how are we going to fill these spots? And you got your picks. How are we going to find your spots? Now it's looking to me for the receiver spot. You have to do it through a trade or through free agency. And right now, if you look at free agency, there's nothing there that's sticking out that's like, hey, this is going to change it. So make a long story short, I think it would be benefit the Packers to probably make a trade for a receiver and get that off the table before the draft. And then, you know, because they're going to have enough pieces to fill. They're going to have to fill depth-wise in cornerback position. Same thing, obviously, with edge. They're going to need a big time. If you're not drafting an edge guy way high, I don't know how you expect him to be a difference maker next year. So long story short, I think it has to be entertained that they're going to get a receiver through a trade.
What, Davante Adams not a game changer?
Well, he's 32 years old. He's going to be 33.
It's not
a Packer-like move.
And you see, and at that age, even the best of them, they do lose a step. And I think that would be a risk. I love Davante. I think, you know, in a sense, it would be nice to have him back. But I agree that it's a kind of it's a scary point of a receiver's career. And it would be a risky move. And I don't know if that's exactly the answer to that. And I think I agree with you that maybe you look in the trade realm to somebody who is younger. I was talking to our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, and he said he would more expect a guy that's a 26-year-old who's been on the fringe of getting a bigger role with a team, maybe a good team, that maybe the Packers, with their eye for talent, would be able to see.
For what spot? For the receiver spot or for the...
Yeah, for receiver spot.
The only thing I would say in that situation is I think they have to get... And DK is I think, 27 and going to be 28 here. I forgot exactly what month. But you got to go get number one. I don't think... for the fringe. You don't need a fringe guy for the receiver spot. That's just my opinion. I think you need a you need a guy that has actually proven it. And
hey, Paul, I lost sight of the time. We have 5 seconds to go. Thank you for joining us.
Have a great weekend and good luck this afternoon.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Revel in the soul of New Orleans and the spirit of Mardi Gras with the latest Jazz at Lincoln Center Presents concert celebrating the New Orleans Songbook. Led by acclaimed pianist Luther S. Allison and featuring the soulful vocals of Keanu Linnell and Milton Suggs, this concert celebrates the legendary composers and timeless songs that define the Crescent City. New Orleans Songbook, coming to the Grand Theater Wausau Friday, March 21st. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It is Friday morning, March the 7th of 2025. It is day number 66 of this year. That means there are 299 days remaining in this year of 2025.
Less than 300. And a few
yep, under 300. So we are flying right through this 2025. Mm-hmm. And a few famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1987, Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight boxing champion when he beat James Bone Crusher Smith in a 12-round fight in Las Vegas. Tyson was only 20 years old. Mm-hmm. On this date in 1998, a Minnesota judge ordered tobacco companies to release 39,000 secret documents that might contain information on how the industry studied ways to lure children as young as 5 years old to smoke cigarettes. On this date in 2015, President Barack Obama stated that he did not know that former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton used a personal email address for government business. And on this date in 2019, Queen Elizabeth II shared her first Instagram post, a letter between mathematician Charles Babbage and Prince Albert.
Interesting.
A few folks, famous folks, are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Bryan Cranston, boy, what a career he has had.
Oh, yes.
Breaking Bad, Malcolm in the Middle, played Dr. Tim Whatley on Seinfeld. I mean, he's had a lot of terrific roles. Bryan Cranston turning 69 years old today.
What a legend.
Comedian, Oh, I'm sorry. The comedian Wanda Sykes is 61. Rachel Weisz of Black Widow, Denial, and many other movies is 55. Jenna Fischer, one of the stars of The Office, played Pam on The Office, 51 years old. Laura Prepon, Orange is the New Black, 45 years old today. And poet Amanda Gorman, she was the poet who read a poem at the inauguration of Joe Biden. Amanda Gorman is 27 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events. Cereal Day. What's your favorite cereal?
Oh, my favorite cereal would have to be, I like the Reese's Puffs, honestly. Reese's Puffs are my favorite.
My favorite is one I can never get. Quisp. Quisp. But it's never in the stores. You have to like order it. But
there's a lot of cereals they don't have in the stores anymore. If they do, it's hard to find.
It is Flapjack Day. It is Peace Corps Day. It is Power Plant Day. It is Be Heard Day. So those are very some special important events. Yep. So there you go. And it is now time.
Yep.
Time for our number for the day quiz. And we give Ian Welsh three choices each and every day. Two are incorrect. One is correct. So based on the math, he should get one out of three correct, 33%. So anything above 33% is a passing grade. Anything below 33% is a failing grade for the week. And so far this week, he is one out of four. So that means
got some work to
it's
do.
All on the line today.
Yes. Today's a big one. A very important right, one because it's coming up this weekend. It's a daylight savings time. That is our topic today.
So Ian gets it right. He has a passing grade. If he gets it wrong, he has a failing grade for this
yeah
week. All right.
All right.
Our number for the day. What year was daylight savings time first officially adopted in the United States? So what year was daylight savings time first officially adopted in the United States?
Okay, what are my choices?
Was it in 1888? Was it in 1918? Was it in 1948?
1888, 1918, or 1948, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So what year was daylight savings time officially adopted in the United States? 1888, 1918, 1948. Okay. You don't usually see him on the camera, so you can actually, I see the gears moving.
No, in my see head. The sweat forming on your forehead.
Yep. Okay. Okay, I go with my instincts here. I'm going to say daylight savings time. I came around. I want to say 1918. I'm going with B as my final answer. And to end the week, 1918 is my final answer.
Daylight savings time was first officially adopted in the United States in 1918.
Yes, I got a passing week. Oh,
it was first adopted in 1918 as a wartime measure to conserve fuel during World War One. Well, so congratulations, a passing week, 2 out of 5, 40%.
Feels very good. Feels very good. Going into the weekend with that.
There you go.
I like that.
Well, good luck in your auditions.
Thank you, Chad. Good luck in your games, too.
Absolutely.
Happy
we'll be
Friday,
back
everybody. Enjoy the beautiful weekend. It's going to get better out there.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll be back on the air at 1:35 for the pregame show for Wausau West State Tournament Hockey against Notre Dame Academy later this afternoon. Marathon Boys Basketball against Phillips tonight at 6:50 in Wausau West at DC Everest on the Sports View Stream at 6. Keep it right here. Matt and Eric coming up next.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by the University of Wisconsin-Madison Professor Yoshiko Herrera to discuss the evolving situation in Ukraine. Are there any silver linings?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Labor Department reports a solid 151,000 jobs added to the economy last month. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
In terms of sectors, healthcare continues to provide consistent job growth, adding 52,000 positions. Government jobs were down by 10,000, but this is clearly just the tip of the iceberg.
Numbers do not reflect government worker layoffs or the new trade war. President Trump told government agency heads they're the ones who should decide who stays and who goes, not Elon Musk. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Cabinet members have found themselves sometimes overruled by Musk and members of his DOGE operation when it comes to cutting both personnel and programs.
Tonight, a man in South Carolina will become the first in the country in 15 years to die by firing squad. GW Law's John Banzoff.
The firing squad has been held unconstitutional in South Carolina, but it's okay now because he has a choice. Barbaric and ironic.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm